It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network.
Live 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Happy Friday, everybody. You know, Hans and I, we were just talking. It's a Friday. Let's have some fun today.
I know.
We're going to give away some Utah-Arizona State tickets coming up at 1230.
That's good.
We're fired up about that. And by the way, I have a little bit of an announcement to make. We have 10 pair of tickets to every single Utah Jazz game this year. Every single game the Utah Jazz play, we will be giving away. Okay, maybe I should clarify this. Every home game, I'm not sending you to Milwaukee.
I was going
to
say, Scotty, we're blowing out the budget
expenses
now?
I don't know if our new friends over at the Triad Center would be too overly happy about that one. That's a good way to make a first impression.
I said something. I just need you to get my back on this.
I kind of threw it out there. Can you kind of help me out a little bit?
We've already given out our first pair.
We've given away 20 tickets to the Jazz and Golden State in Golden State. So anyway.
This is a huge announcement.
Every home game for the Utah Jazz, we will be giving away 10 pair of tickets.
And all people are required to do to win the 10 pair of tickets is just listen?
I would say there's a couple things I would like you to do. Number one is listen. Yes, that's going to be your best bet. Number two, make sure to follow us on Twitter at Zone Sports Network, because we will give you times on Twitter or Zone Sports Net, yeah, for the Zone Sports Network Twitter account at Zone Sports Net. And we will give you times on Twitter. Also, if you go and download the app, and you get the push alerts on the app where it tells you, hey, this interview is coming up, you will also get heads up as to when those times are going to be. So you'll know exactly what time we'll be giving those tickets away. On Twitter, well, probably on Instagram, as well as via the app and the push notifications.
You're right, man. This is a Friday. This is a fun time. Good time to be alive when we've got 10 tickets to every home game to give out. That's pretty exciting. Not to mention some other big announcements that are going to be coming up. I mean, this station is building. It is becoming better. It is exciting. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait for more and more announcements with our new partnership, because, Scotty, you know, things are just awesome. Things are going to be amazing.
And, oh, by the way, our good friend Mitch Harper from KSLSports.com is going, I don't know if he's done it already or will be doing it, a one-on-one interview with Bob Bowlsby of the Big 12. And we'll play that conversation. Either I'm not exactly sure when it'll either be later in our show or first part of the big show.
But sometime today.
But sometime today you'll hear from Bob Bowlsby.
Okay. Oh, man, what an amazing day. Good Friday going into a big weekend of football. And, Scotty, I just have had this on my mind. I mean, we're nearly the halfway point. We're at the halfway point with BYU. Utah had the bye week, so they're not quite the halfway point. Utah State's kind of in that same vein. But if you don't mind, I want to, based off of what we feel like we know through the first five or six games, I want to start to take a look at what the potential ending record will be for each of these teams. Just looking at opponents that are coming up, I know things can change, but based off of momentum, based off of the skill that we've seen on the field, let's see if we can put together some numbers and start to make some projections on what these teams are going to look like at the end of the season.
Let's get to it. By the way, we are out and about today. We're at the Mountain America Exposition Center. It is the snowmobile show coming up today. It'll begin today. It'll begin and go through tomorrow as well. We've already had a couple of guys come to the doors trying to get in. It's not open yet. We have the entire expo center to ourselves right now, Hans.
This is really fun, actually. It's a lot of space for us to do activities.
Yes.
And... brother-in-law's one. They're like, so much space in here now for activities. Remember, he starts jumping around the room. The bunk beds, man, made a huge bit of difference.
That show is so good.
There's just a lot of, we got a lot of arm room in here.
We do. And but this place is going to fill up. If you want to be a part of it, make sure to come on by here later this afternoon.
Speaking of which, so last night was date night for me and the wife.
Oh, yeah.
Took her to a movie.
Oh, what movie did you go to?
Well, we went.
Because I went to a movie as well.
We went to the theater, and we went to The Last Duel.
By the way, I've read a book about that. That is a true story.
That is a true story, and it is a brutal true story.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
I wasn't ready for what I walked into, and I'm still a little bit shook by the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That stuff actually happened through the medieval times.
That was and by the way, it's kind of shocking, but that is a very well-documented case because it was the last time they've done something like that in that era. And, yeah, everything. And now I don't know how much they dramatized it, but after reading about the true accounts, I don't think there's much dramatization that needs to happen. Like, that was a movie in the making right there.
It's horrifying. And I think it was Ridley Scott that did it?
Yeah. Guy so that did Alien.
What he did was he took all three accounts of the individuals that were a part of this incident, and he played out the entire scene for each of the three. So it's a three-hour movie. It's an investment, and you know what happens in the story. Well, they show that three times, and they show it as if it was being told by the woman, by the husband, and by the other guy.
Yeah.
And it's brutal. It is brutal.
The guy never did admit guilt.
Nope. Nope. And they make sure they go through that in the movie.
Yeah.
So I believe that movie was filmed pre-COVID. Because, you know, it's hard to watch a Hollywood movie post-COVID. I kind of feel like everything is just looks a little more fake, and the actors look off, and
there's not, you can tell they're trying to keep them away from each other as much as they can.
There's nothing good about this one. Was pre-COVID, and it's a powerhouse of acting. It's got that dark haired guy from Star Wars.
Yeah he's actually a pretty good actor.
He's a very good actor.
Yeah,
and he's brilliant in it. So I took her
in. So do you recommend it? So here's the thing. Because I know, like, morally you get torn a little bit.
Yeah.
I think you think it was a good movie, but I don't know if you don't want to recommend it in good conscience. Did I hit it on the head?
Yeah. Right on the head. Yep. But my goodness, that story, Scotty. I'm glad that you've read the book, so you kind of have an understanding. The medieval times. You know what? I went back and was looking at just some of the years of the medieval times, and you know, the medieval times that period of time went for 150 more years than our country's even been a country.
I know.
And what happened from, like, I think it's like 1011 to like 1430, somewhere in that span. What happened in those years? It's just unbelievable. And that movie does a really good job of portraying that. Now, you could tell that they threw some Hollywood flair in it. There's no question. And that's some of the vulgarities and things like that. And that's why I don't want to really suggest it. But because you better be thick-skinned when you go in on that one.
It's a little bit different than the movie I saw. I took my boys.
What'd you watch?
Took Brooks and Brody to Venom 2, which... I actually kind of liked. I did. I kind of enjoyed it. Do not go to that movie.
Is that pre-COVID?
And by the way, I am telling you right now, you will hate that movie. Do not go. And do not go and then say, well, Scott said it was really good. Because I'm telling you right now, you will hate that movie.
I haven't even seen the first one. So
we watched it like a couple weeks ago, and Brody loved it. Like, my 10-year-old was just in love with the movie. And so he's like, let's go. And I'm like, finally, they did some stuff.
I know enough about it. That's a comic movie?
Yeah, it's in the Marvel thing. Mm-hmm. And but it almost kind of has like a buddy cop kind of feel to it. And it cracked me up. There was some funny stuff.
Buddy cop?
Yeah, like, you know, like those movies where you got two guys and they're like Lethal Weapon and those kind of like where they there's a lot of comedy involved.
Play
in
back
it,
and forth.
And these two dudes are playing back and forth. It's just so one guy and an alien that's trapped inside him.
Am I way off? I don't want to get way sidetracked. Am I way off on this in believing that Venom is Spider-Man's alter ego?
No, he's not. And there was a Spider-Man where I thought there was a Venom. But this one is not. This is
completely
kind of a spin-off of that. Yeah.
So Spider-Man's not even in it.
No. Well, in the credit scenes, he does make an appearance.
Oh, okay. But he's not a big part of it.
No, not at all.
And you liked it?
I actually liked it. I'm not gonna lie. I had some laughs at it. If you're in that Marvel fandom, you'll enjoy it. I liked it far more than I thought I would.
Well, if you're taking kids to anything, just make sure you take them to that.
Don't take them. But, okay, I need I do need your help a little bit on this.
No.
Because there was a moment, you know, in the PG-13 world, you'll always have that one where the guy drops the F-bomb. Like, it just happens, you know.
Every time.
And my 10-year-old is now going around dropping the line that he used without saying it. He goes, let's, I can't even remember the word the phrase he used, but he keeps saying it, but not saying the F-bomb. I'm like, knock it off. Hey.
Could get me in trouble here.
He's like, that was the best part of the whole movie. I'm like, no, man.
Then mama's like, what is the beep? What is that part?
I'm worried about that kid, man. I'm a little worried about him.
Did you take both the boys?
Yeah, I took both of them. He's my little hellraiser, though.
Did the middle one like it?
Yeah, he liked it.
All three of them. All three of you.
Jake's in call. Oh, all three of us.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, that would
I don't know. Like,
better for the kids.
I just don't know what to do with a kid that I think wants to curse like a sailor but knows he can't. It means he probably is at school, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, don't be so sure on that.
The second he gets on a football field, it's going to be like, I'm sorry, I don't have my spectacles on, but is that... I don't know. Is that the captain from Full Metal Jacket?
Yeah. All right, let's get to it. Starting lineup right now here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
97.5, 1280, The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, as we are live here at the Snowmobile Show. It'll be going on now or today through tomorrow, so make sure to stop by and say hi. Doors aren't open yet. They'll be later today, but we'll have more info on that coming up.
So, Scotty, we always tend to do this at the halfway mark, and I know that we're a game away from halfway with the Utes, but we're there with BYU, and I was just looking at BYU. What a terrible time for a bye week. You put your bye week between Idaho State and Georgia Southern. You know, they don't have a bye week. They've got to roll through Baylor, Washington State, and Virginia without a bye week.
10 straight weeks.
10 weeks.
Yeah, that's no bueno right there.
And it's 10 weeks filled with Utah, Arizona State, Utah State, Boise State, Baylor, Washington State, Virginia. Like, how did you roll for 10 weeks without a bye week? I have not heard Kalani mention it, and I haven't even really thought of it until I was looking at doing our halfway point predictions, and I'm like, so BYU is halfway, where is their why is there bye week between Idaho State and Georgia Southern, the two games that you don't need it? Like, why could that bye week not be before Bronco?
Gotta heal up after that Idaho State game.
Yeah, right. And Idaho State is going to rough up those third stringers. But it's just unbelievable. I get it. I know people are like, well, the scheduling is the schedule. And blah. I get it. The schedule demands, and I'm sure that Tom Homo was like, well, this isn't best case scenario, but we need to put so-and-so in there. We got to schedule them there. So we'll just have to bump our bye week back. And it's just an inopportune bye week. But, Scotty, based off of what you've seen from BYU in the first 6 weeks, checking in at 5-1, having their first loss against Boise State, what is kind of your take and prediction for BYU in the remainder of the season?
So before the season started, I said 9-3.
Yep.
And remember when we were down in Marley's and it was a big talking point down there that I thought BYU would win 9 games this year. Well, I'm going to up it up one, and I'm going to say they're going to finish 10-2.
So you've got them only losing one game
yep.
through the remaining 6.
Correct. And I actually think it'll be this Saturday, too. And then I think they run the table the rest of the way.
Okay, so I'm just looking down this. So back-to-back losses to Boise State and Baylor, and then regaining themselves against Washington State, Virginia, Idaho State, Georgia Southern, and USC.
Correct.
I'm not far off of that. I believe my original prediction was 9 wins.
I thought you went 8.
Let's see. I think we put them down, didn't we? Were they part of our – I can't remember if they were part of our preseason in-state predictions. But I'll go back and look at that. I can't remember if I was 8 or if I was 9. But I'm not too far off from you. I could see the 5-1, but that's such a lofty prediction to put on this team that there's only one more loss in there when you've got 4 more Power 5 teams. But this is still
So you got Baylor. Oh, Washington State's the team I'm forgetting.
Yep. Virginia and USC.
They'll beat the you know what out of Washington State.
So what is Washington State, and who are they going to be once they fire their coach? I don't even know.
Yeah, exactly. And the reason I felt pretty confident about the USC game before the season was that I knew Clay Helton was going to be gone. I didn't think it was going to be this quick, but the writing was on the wall. He wasn't going to make it through the season.
Washington State has now put together back-to-back wins against Cal and Oregon State. That Oregon State win is a pretty credible win. So I still don't know how difficult Washington State's going to be. I know that they're going to be very unpredictable. But Oregon State is what we thought was a good team. They had back-to-back wins against USC and Washington. But now I don't even know what to think of Oregon State. But with that being said, I think that 5-1 is doable, but I kind of feel like 4-2 is probably more likely. Whether that and I'm going with you. And obviously, you know, on Wednesday I predicted Baylor would get the win this weekend because it's in Texas, and that's a really good Baylor team. I know that the team's confident, and I think that BYU feels like they're going to redeem themselves and come back from the Boise State loss. But what I said to you during the BYU preview show, I think holds strong, which is Baylor does what Boise State did to beat BYU better than Boise State.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you on that. And that's why I think they lose to Baylor, too. But I also think they beat Virginia, they beat Washington State, and they certainly beat USC. So I'm going 10-2, given a loss this weekend to Baylor.
And you feel like they run it against Washington State
yep.
and Virginia?
Correct.
I could really see that happening. I think if
the only concern I'd have is, and I even hate bringing it up, but what do back-to-back losses do to you mentally? When you don't have that push for a conference title, can you regroup quickly? And so, but if this team plays like they've played throughout the majority of the season, I have no concerns whatsoever about how they perform against Virginia and Washington State and USC. So I feel pretty confident in that one. I think it's a mentally tough team.
I think it's a really physical team. I think it's a good team. You know what? Let's put it in stone, man.
You going with me?
5-1.
Bam, let's go.
Because as I look down this and I go over it, Washington State, Virginia, and USC, and where those teams are right now, if BYU puts together the right game plans, Virginia would be one that I think that BYU would struggle with in Virginia. But I feel like that home crowd advantage has been so big for BYU. I think it was one of the biggest reasons they beat Arizona State. In fact, if I had to point at it, I would say that it was the biggest reason that they beat Arizona State. There were actually a couple things that happened in that game that I haven't really talked a lot about, but what happened with Herm Edwards and Arizona State's offense in that game was understated. They wanted to run a lot of no huddle, and they did not have a secondary plan based off of how crazy that fan base would be from snap to final whistle. And they ended up having to do some things. They had to take some motions out, and they had to run some impromptu offensive stuff that was not what they had planned for going into that game because that crowd forced them into it. Then we saw the false starts. We saw the late get-offs with the offensive line. The fan base absolutely jacked with Arizona State. So I think that they'll do the same. I think when Bronco comes to town, I think that place is going to be packed.
Oh, yeah.
I think when Idaho State comes to town, probably not as packed.
That's fair.
I don't know what time that game kicks.
What, Idaho State or Virginia?
Idaho State.
Yeah, it may not even be announced yet.
Here, I'll pull
Idaho State's at 1:30. It's the BYU
TV game. Oh, there you go.
Oh, well, that'll be a little bit better. That might get some people out there. You'd be affordable tickets and a chance to bring the kids out. But I've got to imagine that BYU is going to have their home field advantage against Virginia. So, yeah, 5-1. 10-2 BYU Cougars. Where does that put them in the top 25?
That would probably finish with more Power 5 teams and wins on that. I'd say you're probably 11-12 around there.
Okay, but hold on. Think about this, though. Back-to-back losses. If you lose to Baylor, you've already dropped to what, 19?
Yeah, you'd probably be around 23, 24.
You're going to be right down to the bottom.
I guess it depends on how the game goes, but let's say it's a close loss. I don't think BYU gets bounced out of the top 25.
Yeah, I think 23, 24.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Especially, let's say Arizona State beats Utah. I don't think that would – I don't know. It's a good question.
Well, they've got the win over Utah and Arizona State. So,
yeah,
either way, what they want is a bloodbath one way or the other.
Yeah.
They either want Arizona State to just – dominate Utah or Utah to dominate Arizona State. One of them to look really good. It preferably for BYU would be Arizona State, yeah, because you want Arizona State from this point on to go undefeated, win the Pac-12, and look like the best win you've got on your schedule, if you can do that.
Coming up next, we will get you ready for the Utah season. We'll talk Utah and work in some Utah State as well and what to project from them coming up throughout the remainder of the season and kind of foresee what their schedule looks like and what we can expect from the Utes as well as the Aggies. We're live here at the Utah Snowmobile Show. Now, the show begins today at 3 o'clock. It'll go from 3 to 9 again today and tomorrow at the Mountain America Expo Center here in Sandy. So we'd love for you to come by and check it out. Remember, today at 3 o'clock, general admission is just $10. And so you can come by, grab your tickets, and children under 12 get in free. So there you go. Let's go. Let's have some fun later today, beginning at 3 o'clock here at the Mountain America Expo Center. This is 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Ready, ready, ready.
It's game week for the Utes, and the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff. The Utes return to Rice-Eccles Stadium for a big Pac-12 showdown against Arizona State as the Utes hope to keep their dreams of a Pac-12 title alive. Listen all week for your chance to win tickets to the game and then catch the Ute pregame show Saturday at 7 with the postgame show immediately following the game. From Monday morning to the post-game press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Ute football.
You ready?
Yeah!
Than 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's the Utah Snowmobile Show here at the Mountain America Expo Center. All the festivities begin this afternoon at 3 o'clock. We'd love for you to come by now, but doors are all locked. They've given us the Expo Center all to ourselves. So you have to wait a little bit to get in here. But 3 o'clock, $10 gets you in. Kids under 12 free. You can check out all the latest gear, sleds, all the latest.
You and I are going to walk through here in a little bit, go get a tour of the place.
But yep.
That entire showroom is just jam-packed with everything that you could ever want. I'm going to go in there and look for a little ice fishing gear.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Because, you know, a lot of people, they buy snowmobiles just to get out onto kind of, you know, lakes that are way up in the mountains, and they'll get their snowmobiles and head up there and go ice fishing on lakes that nobody can get to. Now, that would be fun. That's something I would use a snowmobile for. I am not a guy that likes to jump snowmobiles 100 yards. That's not me.
Well, the way we're built, that usually isn't going to work for us anyway.
We're going to be viral for a different reason, for not completing that jump.
Well, they got about, that jump went about 3 feet.
Did not go as planned.
No, you're spot on. There's so many different things you can use these snowmobiles for. And plus, if you come in here, even if you're not a snowmobile fan, I'm sure they've got some winter gear. Just in general. So whatever you're looking for, there's all kinds of stuff here, I'm sure. All right, so we went through BYU's schedule. I've got them at 10-2 the rest of the way. You're going to go 10-2?
10-2.
All right.
Which is I hate to do that to them. I'd love to give them a little bit more wiggle room.
It's not something that I'm not going to be like Lloyd's Raiders, and if they don't do it, I'm going to kill them. You're like, oh, what a huge disappointment.
Because 9 wins is still going to be an amazing
season. Considering this schedule, it's a great season.
10 wins is just like, that's, 10 wins is going to put eyeballs on that entire staff.
Matt Wells used to say all the time, he's like, look, never take 10 win seasons for granted. They don't happen very often. They're extremely hard to get. And when you get them, you appreciate it and you celebrate them.
Yeah.
Because they're just hard, hard years to come across. They just don't happen very often. And when you get to a 10-win season, regardless of whatever conference you're in, whatever your competition is, you get to 10 wins, you celebrate the heck out of it. Because it just doesn't happen very often. It's a monumental accomplishment.
Huge. I can't even imagine. I mean, and what'd be weird is to have the two losses right there in the middle and be able to run the table. That does make me a little nervous. It gives me a little bit of pause thinking, so you can overcome back-to-back wins and then just roll through Washington State and on through Virginia. It makes me a little bit nervous, but I don't have a ton of respect for those other teams.
I don't. I have a ton of respect for Bronco. I just don't think his team's that great this year.
Right.
But, boy, is he and that staff going to have that team ready to play.
Who do you think has the more difficult remaining schedule, BYU or Utah?
That's a great question.
Let me tell you BYU's remaining schedule. Arizona State, Oregon State, UCLA, Stanford, Arizona, Oregon, Colorado.
Collectively, you got to go Utah.
You got to go Utah on the final seven.
And plus, I mean, also, too, they've got one extra game, too. They've had their bye week.
Yeah. So they've got 7 games remaining. Now, Arizona and Colorado could kind of be the Idaho State and Georgia Southern, but not.
But they're still Pac-12 teams.
Exactly. They could be that, but they're not. That is still two teams that if you blink, they could beat you, and that's not Idaho State and Georgia Southern.
I think, all right, so this is a tough one here. I think they beat, going to Corvallis, Oregon State's playing pretty well. You got UCLA.
I told you that this that stretch right here, Arizona State, Oregon State, UCLA, Stanford, is very unpredictable. This four-game stretch is extremely
unpredictable. And plus, you still have a top 10 team in Oregon.
Yes. You get that game against Arizona. And there is not another bye week, right?
No. Oh, that's it.
You just play on through these next seven games. So they definitely got their bye week when they needed it. They really, really needed it.
Hands, I might go 7-5 here.
So you've got them losing three more through here.
Yeah, and if you pin me down on what games, I usually look at them in groups. So Arizona State, Oregon State, UCLA. They might go 1-2 in that stretch.
In the preview show, you did pick Arizona State. So there's,
I did.
There's one loss.
Yep. The Oregon State game, I can't figure out Oregon State. And this is the problem in trying to project is the Pac-12 is just so funky. You got to go to Corvallis. You got to play an Oregon State team that's been really good. But then Washington State just beat them. And Washington State's been, for the most part, not a particularly good football team this year.
Yep.
So who is Oregon State? How good is that Oregon State team? I don't know.
My feeling is not very. What I want to see, if Utah just becomes the consistent team, then they're going to be okay. I've got them at 8-4. I've got them through these next seven games. I've got them losing two and winning five.
But looking at that stretch, like saying this team is going to go 5-2 over that seven-game stretch, that's a big ask.
It's a huge ask.
And it's not – I'm not saying this about Utah. I'm saying this about the Pac-12. Like, okay, Oregon, top 10, Arizona State. I mean, just based on the ranked teams, that could be two losses right there.
Those are the two I'm giving them.
Okay. So you're saying they're going to beat UCLA, Oregon State, Stanford, and those are your remaining decent teams, and then Arizona and Colorado.
Yes.
You can just pencil those in at W's.
That's exactly where I'm going. They beat Oregon State in Corvallis. They beat UCLA at home. They beat Stanford on the road. They beat Arizona on the road. They lose to Oregon at home. But, man, that Arizona State and Oregon being at home, I mean, that's nice. But those are two really tough teams, and then they lose to Colorado, which would give Arizona State the South Division title.
8-4 is a hell of a year with that schedule and what they've done and what they've had to deal with.
And what they've gone through. I think 8-4 would be a great season. Yeah, and also when you take a look at that, 8-4 would give them the wins against, as we mentioned, UCLA, Stanford, and Oregon State, who could still finish pretty well. Or they could tank. I don't know. I don't believe in Oregon State. I don't necessarily believe in UCLA either.
Ah, that's a good point too. I mean, UCLA starts out like gangbusters, Hawaii, beats LSU, and then loses to Fresno. They get ran off the field against Arizona State and then beat Arizona. So their signature win is that LSU game.
That's UCLA.
UCLA, yeah.
Yes.
But then they turn around and lose to Fresno.
Yep.
And then lose to Arizona State, and Arizona State put it on, too.
Well, Stanford's in a similar situation because they lost to UCLA when we thought UCLA was really good. And then they beat the top-ranked Oregon Ducks. Oregon was ranked number 3 and was the only thing that the Pac-12 felt like they could hang their hat on. So they had just lost to UCLA. Going into that Oregon matchup, it's like, oh, Stanford's just – they're struggling because they lost to Kansas State to start the season. But then they've got wins against USC and Oregon. But then they get beat pretty soundly against Arizona State last week or 2 weeks ago.
No, bottom line is Arizona State's turned out to be a pretty good team.
Arizona State's turned out to be a really good team. I don't know if Stanford's a good team.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
As we mentioned, and Frank brought up a good point, Stanford isn't exactly trying to push the run, but Arizona State held them to how many yards was it? 13 yards or something on
correct.
The ground? So I don't think Stanford's a very good team. I'm going to go 4-2 for the Utes through the remaining, 5-2 for the Utes through the remaining seven games, which would put them at 8-4 on the season. which would be a really good season.
All right, so I've got Arizona State loss. I've got Oregon loss. I just think there might be, and I can't pinpoint who. I just think there's another one
in
there.
When we talk about what they're dealing with, you can understand that.
Yeah.
You could understand why, and, you know, there's always that letdown. See, I'm actually a little bit worried about the way BYU shows up tomorrow against Baylor. Two reasons that worry me. I mean, there's some other reasons that worry me, but two things that worry me. Boise State beat them at the game that they put against Utah. So basically what BYU did to Utah, Boise State came in and did that in the second half to BYU. They beat them up. They moved them around. They did what they wanted to do. Boise State did.
Yes.
We can talk about the fumbles, and yes, the fumbles did directly lead to the victory. But Boise State went on a 7.5-minute drive to start the second half, and they ended up with 3 points. BYU stopped them in the red zone. They kicked the field goal. But they still went on a 7-something-minute drive and imposed their will and kind of set the scene for the second half of that game. So I feel like BYU's a little bit roughed up mentally, like, oh boy, okay, who are we? And they don't have the safety of their home crowd.
No.
I don't know what it's going to be like in Waco, Texas.
Place is going to be hopping.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
This is a 5-1 Baylor team versus a 5-1 BYU team. If Baylor fans don't show up for that, then I don't know why we're even talking about being excited about BYU being in the Big 12. You're telling me Big 12 fans can't even get excited about a 5-1 Baylor team taking on a nationally ranked 5-1 BYU team?
They built a brand new stadium probably, what, Jake, about 4 or 5 years ago?
It's actually probably closer to 6, 7, 8, somewhere in there. That McLean Stadium is a beauty, though.
Yeah, it's a beautiful stadium. It's not a huge stadium. I think it seats probably like it's maybe like Rice Eccles.
Yeah,
it's 45 to 50, somewhere in the range. But they pack it. And, of course, I'm sure BYU fans have certainly gobbled up their allotment as well.
Yeah, we had David Smoke on, who does a radio show down there in Waco, and he said that he's expecting a full crowd, and he's expecting it to be pretty nuts. He said the last 10 years has been a really nice resurgence for Baylor, and fans have been showing up.
Well, that's good, and they've got a big opponent coming into town.
I mean, you can say what you want about their, you know, about Art Briles, and I think he's, as a human being, not a particularly good person. But he did get that program winning, and they had the RG3 years. And, I mean, they've as Jake mentioned, the last 10 years have been pretty good for Baylor football.
When DJ actually brought this up, this is probably the best non-conference opponent they've had in that run. He was looking back to their past non-conference schedules, and all it's really been, the biggest name is Duke.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there you go.
So I would expect Baylor's fans to be there and make it really difficult. Those two things worry me for an emotional jolt where BYU doesn't look like BYU coming out of the gates. I feel like there's probably, outside of those two games you talked about, Arizona State and Oregon, I feel like there's probably a game where it just lines up, and I don't know if that's at Corvallis against Oregon State. I don't know if that's at Stanford. I don't know if it's potentially a home game where there's a letdown, or if it's that weird, Well, we just blinked and lost to Colorado. Like, there are some unacceptable losses. The Arizona and Colorado losses would be unacceptable for the University of Utah.
But it also wouldn't surprise me if they split that Arizona State and Oregon, those Oregon games.
Right. Yep.
So,
because both are at home.
Both are at home. So, you know what? I'm kind of going now. I'm thinking, you know what? I can see 8-4. I'll go 8-4 on this.
I could see them at 8-4.
And I don't think they fall below 7-5.
8-4 in a season that we've watched them go through. It does not meet the expectations of what we set for them in the preseason.
No, it does not.
But I think it does meet the expectations of what was reset for them after they went through the trauma that they went through. It's just they had two losses that are really tough for Utah fans to digest against BYU and San Diego State. Those are two losses that are just setting Utah fans back a bit. It's hard for them to internalize that and be like, well, okay, I get it. We're 8-4. We're 8-4, but at least we didn't lose to a non-Power 5 team. Or we're 8-4, but at least we didn't lose to our rival. Well, you lost to one of each of those.
Yeah.
And that puts a little bit different spin on that season.
So this is all just theater of the mind, just because it's just one game. But 8-4 sounds so much better than 7-5. It's only one game difference.
Oh, but it's huge.
But boy, it just the way it sounds and the way it feels, 8-4 is just way better than 7-5.
And I think it plays into what type of money you get in a bowl game too.
Yep, yep.
8-4, you're going to be 8-4. You would be, you know, probably in that 30. If you're extending top 25, you'd be in that 35 range at 8-4.
And let's say it's a big win against Oregon late in the season, might put you in the top 25.
Might slip you in that number 25 slot.
All right, Hans and Scotty, 1047. Coming up next, what you may have missed. We also need to spend some time talking about the rest of Utah State schedule as well. It's all straight ahead right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Eric Walden, Jazz beat writer for the Salt Lake Tribune.
Jazz had a great season last year, and it sucked the way it ended for Jazz fans, obviously. But they were still a great team. On paper, I think they're better. Fair or foul?
I agree with that. I do feel like on paper, they've addressed a lot of the issues that really hurt them in that Clippers series. Theoretically, the Jazz are a lot deeper. They're a little more matchup proof. I think if we're saying what's the ideal version of this team, they're probably missing another lengthy wing capable of defending and switching and hitting some threes, but those guys don't grow on trees. They should be good. They should be improved. They should be capable of winning or at least competing for a championship this year. So I'm really interested to see how it goes.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans and Scotty, what you may have missed, brought to you by Built Bar. Now is the time to get those Built Bars in you.
Oh, yeah.
Double chocolate, peanut butter brownie, salted caramel. That's just the tip of the iceberg on the kind of flavors you're going to find. 100% real chocolate, 100% real delicious. Order yours today at Built.com and save 10% off if you order promo code, if you use promo code ZONE at checkout.
Delicious, creamy, great soft centers, chewy centers. You got the puffs. You got so many options, so many flavors. That Cherry Barcia is kind of hitting for me right now.
You know, I'd not gone to the Cherry Barcia in a long time. And
that was a mistake.
The other day, I was looking for one, and there was one in the fridge. I always like to keep them in the fridge.
That was a good decision.
And I'm like, oh, Cherry Barcia, I have not had that in a while. And I'm like, I should be eating more of the Cherry Barcia.
Those little pieces of cherry.
Yeah.
That's your goat?
That's my goat.
Oh, man. It's really good. It's a staple for me. But my goat right now is still the white chocolate cookies and cream. That's still my goat.
If it's available, and it doesn't come out very often, but the cookie dough is my favorite.
The cookie dough chunk.
Yep.
I really like the Rocky Road they just put out, though.
I've not tried the Rocky Road yet.
It's really good. It, instead of walnuts, it's got almonds.
Oh, nice.
But you got the marshmallow chunks, and you still got that Rocky Road flavor. You like Rocky Road flavor? I love marshmallow.
Yeah. You ever, we always joke about the old Schwann man back in the day.
Yeah.
And when you'd come to your house and deliver all the goodies.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Christmas. Did you ever get the big old tubs of the Rocky Road?
No.
That was the best Rocky Road. Because they'd have like big veins of the marshmallow coursing through it. And you'd have to like maneuver around with the old ice cream scoop to make sure you got that marshmallow vein into your bowl.
I told you that. My friend Jared, he was my best friend growing up. His parents had Schwann's come and deliver the personal pizzas.
Yes.
And they used to call them
little microwave trays where you fold up the edges around them.
Yeah. They had a cordon bleu, then they called it something.
Oh, I remember those. We never got those.
Yeah, it was those a chicken cordon bleu, and it was just an oval shape. I would get into their freezer, and I would just destroy it. And when they weren't looking, like, I would eat 3-4 cordon bleus because I was so hungry. And I'd eat those two or three of those personal
pizzas. You eat three or four of them?
Oh, yeah. And Jared would call, and he'd be like, my mom's chewing us out. Did you eat a bunch?
And, of course, Hans is like, nope.
No, I didn't. I had one.
Those personal pizzas, man, those were the best.
They were so good.
On the Built Bar note for just one thing, my wife has not been a big fan of Built Bar until that Rocky Road flavor came out, and she is a huge fan of it.
Yeah, the Rocky Road, it can set the stage for a lot of addictions. It's absolutely delightful.
That's where
those personal pizzas, buddy.
And you felt like they were fancy when you had that little microwave tray and you put the little edges, pop the edges over.
I do remember, though, at least one out of three, I'd burn the ever.
Oh, yeah, because you couldn't wait. You couldn't wait for that thing to cool.
Yeah, and then the sauce got so hot.
Yeah.
And I'd just
nuclear.
Chew through the pain. I'd be like, oh, I can't. I should spit this out and get ice on it, but.
I can't stop.
Then I don't taste the next 20 bites or three, whatever it takes.
Got a blister on the top of the roof of your mouth.
Oh, man. I still haven't grown
up. That's where I discovered, what are the ice cream cones with the little chocolate at the bottom of the cone? Drumsticks.
Drumsticks, yes. Baby. Those are the best things ever.
Yes.
Yeah, at Schwann's used to deliver drumsticks.
Are those guys still in business, by the way?
Yeah.
The Schwann?
I've seen them driving around. Yeah, they're still
big
around.
Yellow trucks.
I see them from time to time, yeah.
Yeah, their little personal food was awesome. But it was expensive. When I get my hands on it, I would destroy it.
Cordon bleu, man.
And was there anything better growing up than, you know, food like that, and then on a Saturday morning playing a little Nintendo with your buddies and going out to shoot starlings by the pond?
God bless America.
With your little BB gun?
Yep.
Go fish for some catfish? We do have some what you may have missed.
Jake's like, go to break.
Last night,
5 minutes on Schwann's and Built Bar. I love it.
Last night, the Bucks got a win.
Welcome to the show, Jake.
And obviously, Tom Brady's doing what he's doing. They got to win 28-22 over the Eagles. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are getting real short on corners.
Yeah.
They went to the bottom of the barrel and brought in a criminal in Richard Sherman to try to fill a spot. And Richard Sherman ripped a hamstring in that game last night. So they've got now a combined 11 games missed by defensive backs. And now Sherman goes down. You're going to be loaded with defensive backs sitting on the sideline. Tampa Bay is getting really thin defensively. And then we've seen the injuries to Gronk, and we've seen the injuries across the board for the Bucs. They're getting thin. Somehow they're continuing to win. That would be Tom Brady. He's continuing to play at an incredible pace. But at some point, it's going to catch up with the Buccaneers. They are beat up.
Kind of feels like some of those old New England Patriot teams where it seems like every year it's like, oh, they don't have anybody left, but here's Tom Brady slinging touchdowns, and they still find ways to get wins. And, Tom Brady's got a lot of pressure on him this year, for sure, because he's not getting a lot of help from that defense. All right, 11 o'clock straight up. We are live here at the Utah Snowmobile Show. Doors will open today at 3 o'clock here at the Mountain America Exposition Center. So you can come by at 3 o'clock. Tickets are just $10. Grab your tickets. Check out all the latest. In fact, we're seeing a beautiful snowmobile in front of us right now, Hans, that they're giving away.
Holy cow, look at that thing.
That is beautiful.
That is one of the most incredible pieces of machinery I have ever seen.
That might be worth the $10 ticket just to put your name in the drawing for that bad boy.
You could jump 100 yards on that. We could sit it could propel us 100 yards.
You and I could both be tandem on that thing and get 100 yards on that bad boy.
Could you just see me gripping around your waist and, like, you just flooring it and us hitting the ramp like Thelma and Louise?
He's like, we're not going to make it. I'm like, we're going to make it.
And I whisper in your ear, I got to go. And you're just like, let it go, man. And I'm like, it's warm.
Wait, what? No, no.
Well, that was a Dumb and Dumber.
I know it was, but no.
And then I'm frozen to your back.
This is a segment. Hey, when it's the holidays and we do a best of, Jake, maybe flag this one.
Oh, yeah, this one's going
one of
in.
Our best of segments.
This is
right
going
here.
Into the evergreen section.
Told you it's Friday. We're having a little fun,
it is
man.
A Friday. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network.